Idag är ett speciellt avsnitt. Vi ska strax gå ut engelska. Men vi har, det är fyra gäster vi har, Patrik. Det är fan jävla kul alltså.
Det måste vara rekord, va?
Ja, det är rekord. Det är rekord.
Det är ett sånt avsnitt alltså. Man är riktigt jävla laddad för det här avsnittet med att du ska administrera sex personer i en podd.
Vi har Rune Thomsen till att börja med, som folk har hört mycket i den här podden. Rune, you will help us because you have three other guys in the same room.
Yes, I think that we are doing experimental here in this room by sitting all together recording the same pod.
It's Philip Bergevi, Mick Veld here. Sorry if I pronounce it wrong. And Erik Fanschelboom. That's also crazy wrong, I think.
Yeah, so we can start by the guys can actually pronounce their own names. So then we know for the future.
Yeah, please help us, guys.
My name is Mick Veld here.
Welcome. Okay, repeat that, Alex.
Mick Veld here. Was that correct?
That's correct.
Doubles partner for with Philip Bergevi now for a long time.
Long time now.
Eric.
Yes, Eric Van Schulepom.
Yeah, Pop. Yeah. Patrick, give it a try.
Eric Van Schulepom.
Mick, really good, really good.
Very good, very good, Patrick.
Yeah.
So tell us, guys. Okay, Shadow. Yeah,
no, it's okay. I'm impressed by my own pronunciation.
Yeah.
So, yeah. How are you guys, Rune?
Yeah,
how's life?
We are here in Croatia, in Zadar, gathered together. And I thought that it would be a great way to talk a little bit about tennis, but also talk about many things else that the life has to imbue. So I think that the idea here is that the connection for the four of us is that we spent 10 days together in December in the Elite Serie for Fair Play. And I think that maybe the talk should start around that, how it was to meet up and how it was to win the Swedish gold. Yeah,
that's actually great that you saying that, because I've heard you guys have a WhatsApp group that is still very active.
Yeah, going strong.
Yeah, it's going strong. I feel some weeks yes, some weeks not, but it's a nice WhatsApp group with good conversation in it.
It's great content.
Yeah.
Can you share some more info, or is it like a secret of what is written there and shared and everything?
No, I think it's very public known that the group is established by the word that they found out during the league, where they started to call the team and the team members pichons. So I think pichons. Yeah. And actually, I think it will be the other three that have to tell the listeners why and how that came up.
Yeah, firstly, we have to give a great shout out to Ole Wallin, because actually he is the one who started saying it all the time.
Big legend.
Yeah, big legend.
Ole, yeah, he's a TP fan, Ole Wallin. Been a part of our podcast as well.
Yes, yes.
We're all birds now.
Yeah. It's Spanish for bird. No?
It's Spanish for like a small bird. Yeah. So that's what we are now.
Yeah. And Ole has a big love for the country of Spain. So actually, he went to the wrong place to go to school, you can say.
I wanted to ask you about the semis and the finals, because I think you guys had a great team spirit. It was really shown, not only during matches, but also after you guys won. There was a lot of celebrating and a lot of, nice comments in front of the camera. And you guys really showed that you have... you really like each other. I mean, how important is it to have great chemistry, not only on the court, but also off the court when playing, for example, an Elite Serie?
Yeah, no, but we had a fun team this year. Like, big characters, I would say. everything from William, who's young and crazy, and then, I have to say, I'm the old guy that has to try to get everything together.
But also, But also, I felt really old in the team. I don't know. It was these crazy young guys making all the fun together. And yeah, no, it was.
But we made them young also. So
yeah,
it was.
Yeah, no, 10 days was good, but that was also enough.
But I also think that was the spirit, because maybe, of course, Fair Play was on paper one of the favorites, but it was not obvious that they were going to go all the way and win the men's league. But I think that gathering and that team spirit together, that just growth and growth every day or every match into the series, also helped to make it possible to win the gold, actually, because in many of the matches it was very close, and then maybe somehow they found these extra 1, 2, or 3%, especially Olle clinched some sick singles wins. And I think without that spirit and that, how can you say, connection with the other players, he wouldn't maybe not have found that 1 or 2% that made the difference.
No, we pumped him up a lot, actually, Ulle. And
we pumped
like
each other up well.
Yeah, we pumped each other up. And I feel like we played even better because of that. We found like some extra points in a match, which can make a big difference, you know, if it's also a super tiebreaker sometimes. So yeah, that was important for sure.
But how much does a gold in Eliteserien mean, for example, if you compare to a challenger title?
Good question.
What would you choose?
I mean,
would you trade the SM gold for a challenger title?
Tough question, actually.
Very tough.
For me, it was the first time there, so for me, it's maybe I have not a great connection like Philip has with the club, because Philip has been there like, I don't know, 10 years maybe. I don't know.
Yeah.
So maybe for me, I would maybe trade it, but I think maybe Philip not.
But at the same time, it means a lot. But I've also been able to, fortunate to be able to win some goals before. So, I mean, for me, I have less challenger titles than I have SM goals for sure.
So, but I think next
they
year
they
do both. Yes, they both have a SM title and they win a challenger title.
Yeah.
So, that's the best.
Yeah.
How was it celebrating the title? I think I saw one or two beers on the table that same night.
Yeah, I had like a couple of beers, I think, maybe two. But the problem is I had to leave really early the next day, so I couldn't really party with the other guys.
It was so close to Christmas, so everyone was taking off at different times and stressing out of there a little bit.
Yeah.
It was tough to have the perfect celebration, but we had a good time, final night as a gathering.
Yeah, it was
nice. Yeah, you had to go to your ski holiday.
Yeah, I went straight to Austria, actually, the day after.
Yeah. That's dangerous, go skiing, Philip.
Say again?
It's dangerous going skiing as a tennis pro.
If you don't know what you're doing, and if you have crazy guys on the slope, then it's dangerous.
No, I mean, other people can run into you.
That's true, yeah.
Or ski into you.
But I can say that I was not part of the celebration, but when we were driving home very early, David Egelund was driving 5 o'clock in the morning the next day back to Malmö. And I can say that the Pichones in the backseat has never been so quiet for 5 hours than they've been for the drive. So I think some of them for sure needed a good night of sleep after that.
Nice. How was it to beat Lidingö on their own, how do you say, home soil, own stadium? Must have felt good.
Yeah, I mean, tough. It was first time we played them in 2 years. I don't think we played them. But they as well have a great team spirit, and they have had the same team for 2 years. So it's a tough team to battle. But it was a fun match. Also, as you say, fun to play at their house and with actually a lot of people showing up. So good experience.
It was great.
And now we have a rumor, or not a rumor, a signing for Lidingö, because they're going to be stronger next year. We know from inside that they have signed a very strong Austrian player for the next season.
True.
Austrian player? It can't be Dominic Thiem. Of course.
No, close to.
That would be sick.
Mizolic.
That's a good guess.
It's a good guess.
Oh, Austrian.
He's here in this tournament right now, still in singles.
No, don't check.
No, I can't check. That's cheating. I'm not going to check.
No, I'm not going to check.
You should know
either.
This. You watch the draws all every day.
Yeah, maybe the guy that beat Dominic Thiem then, Niemeyer.
Good guess.
But the last one from Austria there.
Oof, there's one more.
Yes.
Who can that be?
It's not Misulic, it's not...
He's a little bit lower ranked than those guys.
No, I'm not going to guess right on this one.
But you have to say it's breaking news. You heard it from...
Breaking news in the podcast.
Exactly. So all the opponents to leading to next year, they should be very terrifying because they signed Sandro Kopp.
Sandro Kopp, okay. Legend. Sandro Kopp.
Sandro Kopp.
Why are you laughing, Patrick?
See, but then maybe both Nielsen and this American guy. So someone has to be kicked out then.
Yeah.
Ah, okay. Yeah.
Someone's got to go.
And you, I assume you guys will all play for Fair Play again.
Yeah, for sure.
Maybe we have secret weapons also.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Maybe Rune comes back. Holger.
Yes. Holger, yes.
It's game over for everyone.
Yeah.
But then Patrick Martoglu has to come as well, Rune Thompson.
Yeah, we have Rune as the coaches next year.
Nice. Should we move on from Elitserien, Patrick? What do you say?
Yeah, I think it's time to move on from December and move on to this year. But first, guys, how did you find each other, Philip and Mick?
In Cancun,
Mexico.
Through love and design.
Like a couple of years ago. I know you played Futures like 2 years ago.
Years ago,
that's actually when we met the first time. We played 5 weeks together in Mexico at the start of 2022.
Started 2022.
Yeah,
January.
But then we started like playing challengers together last August.
Yeah, somewhere like that. Yeah, no, July.
Yeah. So it's been like 7-8 months now we've played together.
What makes you so good, and what are your strengths?
What are our strengths?
I mean, you've won a challenger title at the end of last year, and you've been to like two finals, except that, and a lot of semifinals. So obviously, you're playing really good.
But I think it's good because we have. I mean, Mick is a lefty, I'm a righty, but we have pretty similar game styles. I would say we're both pretty good from the baseline, like solid volleyers and good servers. I mean, we can relate a lot to each other and help each other out with, through the same game style, I would say.
Yeah.
Because sometimes it's tough if you play with someone, let's say one has really good serve, one has really weak serve, and one has really good volleys, and one is shit from the baseline, let's say. I feel like for us, we're a little bit overall, and that's making a good matchup for us.
Yeah, we're helping each other a lot on the weak spots to get better at them, you know.
Yeah.
So we have like good chemistry, of course. I think that's also important. Key in this doubles tour.
Yeah, because there's like no margins in doubles. I mean, you guys have lost like 9 matches this year, and 8 of those are in match tiebreak. So it's so close each time against really good pairings.
They played today against one of your favorite players, Patrick. I think
Roman Jebavi,
big legend.
He played really well today, actually. Yeah. Have to give him that. But this year has been, small margins, as you say, Patrick. We've been playing really well, but lost a lot of super tiebreaks. So it's just a few points here and there, and that's what double is. But hopefully we can turn it around. We won one super breaker this week, so that's good news.
Yeah, that's better.
Can you practice like those situations, or can they only come by experience?
Can only come by experience, because I mean, you cannot practice. Of course, you can practice a super tiebreak in a practice, but there's no pressure.
Yeah.
It's not about points, it's not about money. So you cannot really practice it in a practice, but I mean, you have to get it by experience, like playing these matches and of course try to win them.
Yeah, but how frustrating is it for you each time losing in a match tiebreak when you're so close against these good guys you're playing, because there's often like high seeded pairs?
Yeah, true. The tough, I mean, there is always a good side and a bad side. I mean, we're always trying to get the good side of it, that we're actually like close of beating like those top teams. Like we were close of beating the team who was finals last year in Monte Carlo, like ATP.
Yeah.
I mean, we're playing good teams and we're close, so we obviously have the level. But then it's tough to also like lose those ones, because you know if you win, you have another chance the next day to improve even more and play more matches, which gives confidence. And yeah, if you lose first round, like we did a lot of times this year, like you have so many days in between until the next match, and it's tough to practice like mixes those situations that you actually get in a match. So at the end of the day, like you need to get through and get some wins to gain the confidence and the game you need for the big points, because there are a lot of important points, let's say in doubles today with deuce, no ad, and the super tiebreaks at the end. So
also make the right decisions at the right moments. Sometimes I and maybe also Philip make maybe the wrong decisions at the wrong moments. But I mean, it's hard to do, to make always the right decision, of course, because there's also tension on some big points, you know. So it's also trying to stay focused and calm in these moments. But I mean, it's not always easy, of course.
Yeah.
Is
it easy to feel tense in a, let's say, super tiebreak? Because as you said, it's very tough to practice that situation. It's like practicing a penalty in football. I mean, is it easy to feel really tense in a super tiebreak?
I mean, you have to love it also. It's part of the game. And I mean, it happened to us so many times over our careers. We played so many super tiebreaks. So, I mean, you're somewhat used to it, but you know that you don't have room to make any errors. Like, that's the problem. Like, you don't have time to figure things out like you have in a long set. There you can be down in the beginning and then come back and play well, but you don't really get a second chance in a super breaker. It all goes so fast. So, yeah, there is no time to make mistakes. You also have to deliver because you're playing good players. So you also have to win the points yourself. You can't just wait out the opponents to make mistakes.
But do you play the points the same way in a super tiebreak as you would have done in like a normal game? Or are you more taking risks in the same way? Or I don't know how to say.
I mean, we've been on and off with that, like a little bit changing tactics. But because we've been, especially indoors, we've been serving really well. Like we barely got broken for a lot of matches in a row. But in the games, you have time. Like you can mix things up and you can lose one or two points and still win the games. But in Super Breaker, you have those two serves and you need to hold them both. So I think sometimes we've gone for too many risks because the first serve is important in doubles, obviously. High first serve percentage is key, I think. And then just making returns, making the opponents play.
Good job, guys. Eric, want to ask you, because you played a big legend this year, one of my favorites, Bernie Tomic. talk about that match, or Tomic.
Well, it's the first time that I met him and spoke to him properly and played him in that case also. What can I say? As a person, he's a very, very loose guy, as I feel like, I mean, all Australians are, I guess, in some way.
Yeah.
Very talkative.
You could tell him what he said when you were in the barbershop.
You went to the barbershop with Tomic.
Yeah, I went to the barbershop with
Bernard
Tomic.
That's breaking news.
Yeah, breaking news. Yeah.
Breaking news in its pod.
Same haircut. But wait, what did he tell me in the...
Oh,
yes. Oh yeah, we were well, he was just asking me what my opinion was on aliens. And first I didn't really understand what he wanted, like what the question was about, but he really believes in aliens. So I
breaking
mean,
news.
Yeah.
This would be a headline on I don't know.
He was high, I guess.
Well, I don't know. I feel like he always is.
Was
but...
he trying to freak you out? Actually serious.
He was serious. He's not the. I'm not the only guy he's told this to. I mean,
Jesus.
Yeah. So aliens was a great topic that we spoke about.
And... yeah, this is sick. But I mean, this guy, he's playing actually quite differently to most other players.
Yeah,
he's just
how is that to cope with this? Like, it looks like the tempo is like slower.
It looks so slow when you look like from the side and like as a spectator, but when I went on court with him, it's like he has such easy power, so it looks slow and everything, but trust me, he plays fast, you know. And yeah. He has unbelievable hands also, like serving well, you know, great hands. He just knows tennis very well, you know. He can be down a break point or whatever and get out of it so easily because he's just, I mean, come on. He's, I think he was top 20 in the world. So, I mean,
yeah.
He can still play. He didn't like lose everything, you know.
It looks like he's less pretty similar to Manarino, because it looks like he doesn't hit the ball. He just, you know, just
yeah.
Like
no, you're right. Yeah, I see.
Not swinging like other do.
Yeah.
Like short swings and like block the ball in some way.
Like push it in a way, not hitting it, but like feeling.
Yeah.
So I have to ask Rune, Coach Rune, how many hours of YouTube did you watch before that match?
Not so much. I happened to watch him play live the day before, so it was.
Okay.
And fun fact, he played the new leading recruit Sandro Kopp the day before. So.
Breaking news.
7-6 in the third, 3.5 hours.
Wow.
Yeah.
You also played Luca Nardi, who beat Djokovic just recently.
Yeah.
Chennai.
Correct.
I mean, what is the biggest difference, would you say, playing against like a player, let's say Nardi, versus the ones you play on Futures and Challenger Qualies?
They're just more confident in everything they do, you know. Like, I mean, many players often play much better in practices because there's like this no pressure, you know, most of the time. But it's like, for example, with Luca, I just felt that it was just like he wasn't nervous in any moment, and he was just playing like as if it was a practice match, you know, like. Very high level. Like, I mean, he's solid from everywhere, moving well, reading the game well, and just you know, a level higher than most of the other guys that I've played before.
Yeah, Rune, what do you say about your year so far with Eric?
Good, very positive. We managed to play more hardcore than last year, so that's good. And now the real grind starts here on the clay. So I'm very positive, and I would say it's probably top three best start of the year that he has had under my guidance.
Nice.
Do you guys travel together every week for each tournament?
Yes.
Yes, we do.
They live
so
together.
You had like you had like 4 weeks in India.
Seven.
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 Yeah.
How much Indian street food did you eat? Because I see, you know, Instagram nasty reels. They just pop up.
I would guess they're not eating curry in Croatia now. No more curry this year.
Absolutely not. I think I've had the life expense of butter chicken. So no.
Yeah, but Philip is also Indian. Indian.
I get the samosas on the street. That's so good.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. They call them the salmonella samosa.
Oh, Merida was scouting for me there.
But is it like those Instagram videos with flies and, you know, or is that just a very...
Maybe not like just like that, but not too far from that either.
Cutting the food, chicken with the toenails.
Exactly.
Ah, shit. Yeah, that's crazy. I can imagine Croatian food is much more clean and a lot of meat.
That's for sure.
Čevapčići and what? Yeah, they have some good food.
It's food. Very good food.
See here. Patrick Harnon on punkt där, eller?
Yeah, we can actually talk about the great friend of these guys from the same team in Fair Play, Dragos Madaras.
Yeah.
What happened to him?
Yeah, now it's official that he got this sanction that he was waiting for so long. It says 4.5 years. Banned for all tennis. I don't know if it's high or low, but I also don't know if Dragos is gonna take it to CAS to get another appeal on the case. But at least now he knows what he's up to. And
but what did he do wrong then to get this? This ban.
The report from Tennis Integrity Unit, and it's about a situation on the Wimbledon last year, where that he was not handing over a black phone, as it is called, to, and somehow he passed it over to his brother.
And he ran away.
You also read the report.
Yeah, yeah. Sorry, I interrupted you here, but yeah, sorry, continue.
Like that the situation has happened, similar situations with the same guy from Tennis Integrity Unit, had tried to get the phone from Dragos already in Romania the year before, where he said that where he refused to have the phone on him. So I guess the situation could happen again. But a shame for Dragos, and a shame for tennis, and Swedish tennis, of course, and also for me, because Dragos is my friend. So it's a bad situation for everybody.
What's in this telephone, Rune?
Black phone.
Yes.
Yeah, it's a black phone.
Yeah.
No one knows, but him.
Yeah.
But it's as I understand the penalty, we can say it's like the same as if you got stopped in a car by the police and you refuse to take the drug test, then they sanction you like you have drugs inside you. So the same here, because he doesn't hand over the phone, they're assuming that he's hiding something.
Yeah. It's a shame, of course. Dragos has fought quite, for many years to get this position, and then this happened. So it's unfortunate that he did like this.
Absolutely.
It's very sad for Swedish tennis now, with Mikkel and Dragos being suspended.
And also, we can say we missed Dragos here on the tour.
Of course. Oh, yes.
I think actually he did a very good result in one of his breakthrough year here in Zadar, or otherwise it was in Bosnia. I think he went semis, but it was probably Bosnia. So he's good here in the Balkan conditions normally.
Okay, guys, let's move on to the Billie Jean King Cup nominations. We had we have this new team that Johanna Larsson chose, and the big question here is, why is not Fanny Östlund playing? Because me and Alex, we were so sure that Fanny would be a part of this team as the highest ranked Swedish.
Big scandal in Swedish tennis, I say. Big scandal.
I agree. I think that when they don't have Rebecca and Miriam that is available, then I think it makes absolutely no sense to take the highest ranked singles player and also the highest ranked double player into the team. I could understand.
It's so easy.
It could be more a situation if you had both Rebecca and you had Miriam and you knew these two were going to be in the team, then I better understand that you don't take Fanny. But now, it makes no sense. And then also to even make it maybe more obvious that there is something that with Fanny, that she takes two juniors, not only one to give the experience, but two juniors. So I think it's, it's a big and very controversial decision for Johanna.
Did you read what Johanna said on why she didn't pick Fanny?
Yes, I read the short article that was published this week, yes.
She said that she was hoping for Fanny to make better results this year, but she's the one with the best results.
Exactly. It makes no sense.
That's so crazy.
No, but either she doesn't know, she doesn't follow tennis at all, but I doubt that is the case, or that she doesn't like Fanny. It must be personal, I think.
Yeah, it must be personal.
Or some of the other players has some personal issues with Fanny. That could also be the case.
Yeah, but then she should have the courage to tell Fanny that.
No,
if that's the case.
I agree, and I stand up for whatever I said here. But I think I think for every professional athlete, not only in tennis but also in other sports, if they are in a situation like Fanny, it just it takes all the motivation away from them.
That is just really crazy.
Yeah, also, I'm sure she's pretty disappointed as well, because she's playing really good, and this was a good chance for her, of course, when Rebecca and Miriam is not playing. And I mean, Johanna takes a big risk as well, because if they were to lose a couple of these matches that will be played, I don't know how many matches it is in Portugal, but then you can always also say that if Fanny would be a part of the team, then maybe they would not have lost those matches.
Yeah, but also with the format, I think they're playing a lot of matches in few days. To play singles and doubles every day. And I mean, you would need some experience from many players that played professional level that are maybe a little bit older in this situation. And I mean, it's beneficial to have four or five players the same level that could alternate these matches, I would think.
Yeah. We stand up for Fanny, because she is very funny, Alex. Each time we meet her, always with a smile on her face.
She's very kind.
Also, played on clay, that is probably at least a surface where she has been doing good, like doing deep results in women's above 15 level, and not so many of the other. I know, of course, Hinnemann probably also more confident on clay, but I think Tabayabat is better than on hard, for example. And so there's many, many, many good reasons to select Fanny, I would say.
Oh, yes. We can move on to Davis Cup, Patrick, as we have Philip here, and we haven't been talking to you about it since the match against Brazil. Tough loss, of course, but I want to hear from you, Philip, what you took from that match, and your experience playing with André Göransson against Matos and Meligeni.
No, but obviously, like, tough to lose that one against them. I mean, I feel like we had a good chance coming into that match, and I feel like at the end of the day, we should have made it at least into five matches. And one of the key matches, of course, was the doubles with Andre there. That I would say going into it, it was maybe a 50-50, at least on the rankings against those two guys. But we didn't really reach the same level as we played, especially against the Italian team with Musetti and Bolelli in Bologna, which was disappointing for us. And yeah, it's you always want to do really well and play well in a big match like that on home soil. Playing home in Helsingborg was a good experience, but it would have been even better if we get the win.
How is it to have the doubles legend Simon Aspelin as the new Davis Cup coach?
No, but it was great. He was a good head coach. He planned everything well, and I would say we had with the best possible preparations for the match as we could get. Good also with some new insights having a doubles player as a head coach in the Davis Cup team. It was fun.
Tell us, it wasn't super crowded in Helsingborg, right? I was only watching the TV production, but it didn't look like it was too crowded. But you played.
It was actually sold out, and even all sold right. Some like stand up tickets on the Saturday because they had no more seats available for the tickets. But yeah, serious? As you say, like it was not completely full, but. Maybe 85-90% full, I would say, on the Saturday, actually.
All right.
Philip, have you lost a bet? You have
say
a
again?
Mustache. If you have lost a bet because you have a mustache.
It looks like it, huh? I'm just...
Yeah, I love it, though.
It's you and Alex Diminaur.
Keep it to the final this week, but then we lost today, so tomorrow probably it's going to go away.
My friend, Alex Diminaur, with the mustache.
Philip Diminaur.
Yeah. Maybe I should make it my new image.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Philip legend. Now I can hear myself. Where's your mustache, legend Rune?
It's here.
It's here. I can't see.
It's just very dark here and I have dark.
You should get one, Alex.
No. But I want to ask about Arsenal because you're wearing the Arsenal shirt. The viewers, the listeners, they only listen because this is a pod. But we can see you now, Philippe, wearing an Arsenal shirt. Is that random shirt, or do you really like Arsenal?
Yeah, I like him. I've always been a fan. I started when I was a kid. I got a shirt from a family member when I was a kid, and then since then I've been supporting the team.
You should place a match in that one.
That would be cool. But two big logos, I think. ATP would not like it.
Okay, yeah, true.
Mick, do you have a favorite football team that you support?
I'm actually, I grew up in Rotterdam, Netherlands.
Okay.
And Feyenoord Rotterdam is my, I'm deep in my heart. This is my favorite team for sure.
John Guidetti, big legend.
Guidetti, oh my God.
John Guidetti. I think he scored like 20 goals one season, right? Yeah.
No, he had a great season once. One great season in Feyenoord. Like, he's a really big legend there, actually.
But also the new captain coach for Sweden was also in Feyenoord many years.
Jon Dahl. Oh, really?
Okay. He's been everywhere.
No, Guidetti was... and I remember he scored hat-trick against Ajax.
I think it was... Two penalties. I remember that match.
100%, but it was our big rivals, of course. So that was, he was a big legend there. And I actually don't know what he's doing now, actually.
He's playing in my favorite team, AIK, but he's injured and fat.
Yeah, yes. Actually, he is my... Alex, he's my neighbor.
One of the worst signings ever for AIK. What did you say, Patrick?
He's my neighbor. He lives like 800 meters from my house.
Yeah, he has a big villa with like the best view and everything.
Do you see him come outside your house running once in a while, Patrick?
No, I haven't. Kebab. I have not seen him or his influencer wife.
But he will listen to the podcast, right? So he can hear that Alex called him fat, and then he has to start doing some more cardio.
Yeah, you should see the pictures. I mean, he can't move. It's very sad. He was a top class player in Feyenoord. Yeah,
but also Henrik Larsson played there. Big Swedish.
Okay, yeah, big legend.
Yeah, but long time ago. I think even before I was born.
Yeah, that's in the 90s.
But the biggest legend of them all in Swedish football, Zlatan. He played for your rival Ajax. Ajax.
Yes, I know. Good scouting there by Ajax, though.
Oh, yes.
They made him big.
Yeah, that was his first team outside Sweden.
Yeah, true.
Erik and Rune, do you have a... Is it Copenhagen or... No?
FC Copenhagen forever.
It's you and Clara Tauson.
Not for Rune.
No, I support OB in Denmark and AC Milan in international teams.
OB?
Football, sorry.
What's the name again, the Danish team? Sorry, I have to Google it.
It's so bad you don't know it.
Odense, no.
Exactly.
Odense.
Ah, okay. Odense. Is there any Swedish players there now or coaches?
There is a couple, yeah. But they have had a very good campaign in UEFA Cup back in 96, where they beat Real Madrid with Mikael Laudrup on the team.
Legend.
Mikael
Laudrup.
Spelare. Okay, I have no idea.
Let's go back to the tennis then.
Hey, you have Mohamed Bouya Touray. You know him. I hope you know him.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, let's go. Yeah, sorry. Let's go back to tennis, Patrick.
Yeah, I want to know, Filip, this is a question to you, because the next match in the Davis Cup, it's against India, and we do not know yet the venue or the surface for this match. If you were the captain, what would you choose?
Like you would always say, like in the first place, like you play India, it's for sure you play on clay.
Best surface is clay.
That's what I was gonna get to. Okay. Like India's number one player's best surface is probably clay.
Sumit Nagal.
Yes.
Yeah, because his name is like another clay court legend, so that's why.
Nadal.
The Indian Nadal.
Yeah.
Nagal.
But he also hasn't been playing for India for the past.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
Right. So it's tough to know if he's coming or not. And also with the tour happening a lot on clay nowadays, of course, all the players there are used to playing on clay as well. But it's up to, I mean, I think clay would be a very good choice.
Yeah.
Oh, I feel like we've done really good results in Kungliga in Stockholm as well. So,
yeah, because if we know that Nagal is not coming, then clay, it's for sure the best surface.
Yeah, I would agree. I would agree. And personally, I think I would also rather play on clay than hard courts, having most of my season on clay.
It feels like it's the same for Elias.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I can agree. And it's also during the clay season, kind of like start of hard court, where we're going to play them. So we're going to be having a lot of clay matches just behind us at that time. But yeah, as you say, like mid-September, maybe it's tough to get a good home crowd to Båstad. I don't know.
Yeah,
even if it's a tennis mecca, like I would hope a lot of people show up there. But in Stockholm, we always have a great crowd in Kungliga and great atmosphere. And we're going to need that for sure if we're going to beat India.
Yeah, because I think that there can be a chance that the best Indian players won't show up, because, I mean, they're in the States for like a month or something. And then it's the Asian swing straight after that, and then go to Sweden, like between the US and the Asian swing. I think they rather go to Asia straight away and maybe not come to Sweden to play the Davis Cup.
Yeah, and especially if we put it on clay, then maybe it's one more reason for them not to come.
Yeah, true that.
Yeah, so they don't want to go hard court in US Open and then clay and then hard court again in Asia.
Yeah.
But Do you players have anything to say about the surface? I mean, can you call Christer Sjö or team captain and say, hey, Aspelin, we want to play on clay?
I mean, yeah, I don't know who has the final decision, actually.
Is it Elias Ymer who has the final decision, maybe?
I mean, I hope he gets the question, to be honest.
Yeah, of course.
Like, he's our number one singles player, so the matches for him in Davis Cup are very important for the team.
Yeah.
So he better be asked to have a conversation with the captain about the surface. I really hope so.
But very fun fact about India. They just played in Pakistan in the last rubber here in February, and they didn't have one single player on the team. All the players there was doubles players. But it was also because it was a grass in Pakistan, and that's why Sumit Nagal didn't want to go, because he was on hard, and then he didn't want to use 1 week to adapt to grass and then play and then go back on hard. So the same tactic could be used with clay in September, I think.
Yeah, this is breaking news here for the Swedish captain. Aspelin has to listen to this podcast, I think.
Yeah.
Get some inside. But actually, it's pretty sick because India has like 6 or 7 doubles players.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah, there's so many.
They're good in singles still, but they don't focus on singles anymore. So, but they can play, of course, with good level in singles.
Is Patrick Ragan's favorite still playing? Purav Raja.
I haven't seen him now in a while. But
big legend.
He's a big TV legend now in India. Doing.
Yeah, he has a TV show, actually.
Yeah, he does.
What?
Yeah, he grew his TV show during during COVID. And now he's back. He has like a certain amount of weeks where he has to do this.
Yeah, actually,
so funny.
One of Philip's best wins in doubles in his doubles career is against Purav Raja, because that was in a 250 ATP in Båstad.
Correct.
And but also, fun fact that India now has played all the three Scandinavian countries inside the last 2 years. They started beating Denmark, and now last year they played against Norway, and now this year against Sweden.
Now we better send them back to
fact.
India.
Yes, send them back.
Yes.
Send them back.
Hopefully, Robbers has been on away soil, so now the Indian players know Scandinavia very well.
Yeah. Legends. But it would be fun if Bopana shows up.
Yeah, and he has actually said that he's not going to play Davis Cup, but that can, of course, always change.
Okay.
And Ramkumar Ramanantan, also
he nice played character. He played good in this Indian Challenger swing.
Yeah, he played good singles there. He made semi something, huh?
Quarters.
Yes.
Quarters.
And 125 last week.
Yeah.
Really?
Do you hang out with the Indian guys on the Indian Challengers? Do they show you like the city?
They want to. They're very friendly. The hospitality is great there. They always want to show everything. They're very proud to be Indian, which is nice. They love their
country. Yeah, so you always feel welcome than playing in India.
Absolutely, 100%.
Yeah.
And they run a lot of tournaments now, which is good.
Yeah.
Yeah,
they do. From Challenger and Future level. So it's great. Is it cheap there? Cheap to live?
Cheap to eat, right?
I'm not sure.
I mean, everything is cheap compared to Europe, of course. But yeah, it is. I mean, as a European, it was pretty cheap to eat and stay at the hotels and everything. So yeah, pretty cheap.
Yeah. And this also where to play. How do you do when you choose tournaments? Because this with tournaments, like planning your schedule, it's a little bit science to do it. It's not that easy, and sometimes you don't know beforehand how it's going to look like. And for example, Rwanda had 2 challengers recently.
Yeah, he's the master of this. He's checking all the acceptance lists in every single tournament every week. Aren't you, Rune?
King Rune.
It's true. But maybe now Philip and Mick can enlighten the listeners a little bit about the situation, for example, for next week, which is quite interesting, maybe for the listeners, because it doesn't happen so often, but it just shows how much of a puzzle this entry is, both for singles and for doubles.
True. Yeah, but what I didn't know from the beginning going into Challenger was that it depends on the ATP schedule a lot. And every time it's ATP Masters 1000, which it is now in Miami. There are no other ATP tournaments, and they don't add challengers because of that. So especially for doubles, you need to be top 30 in the world to make it to Miami. Everyone outside of top 30, they're trying to play challengers, which obviously makes the challenger schedule really, really tough.
And yeah, that's it's good for the singles players, because you get rid of like 200 singles players being in the USA at the moment. So for these guys, it's good, but for you, it's tougher.
Exactly. And for let's say next week, it's second week of Miami. And there are two challengers here in Europe, and the cut on the sign-in on Monday was around 250 combined, which means you have to be, yeah, let's say 125 in the world to make it in to a tournament, which is very tough.
Yeah, because you have around 300.
Yeah, exactly. So we didn't make the cut now. So now we have to wait until Sunday. We have to stay here and see if we can get into either Spain or Italy. But I mean, so it's only four spots per tournament on Sunday. It could be tough also. And if we don't make it, maybe we have to change plans and go and play 25. Okay.
Oh, right. You can do it in like last minute change and go to a future.
Yeah, because the future sign-in is on the Monday.
So all right.
Be on Sunday if we get into Challenger or not, and if we don't make it, then we can sign somewhere on Monday and go to a future.
Yeah, this sounds also like pretty expensive flight tickets to book, like last minute flights.
Also, we need to go on Sunday. We won't know until noon on Sunday where we're gonna go, and we have to go Sunday afternoon. So it's gonna be tough.
It's gonna be expensive.
Yeah. So what do you do then? Because then you have like 3 or 4 days now in Croatia, and you just practice and just hang around, or?
Yeah, we have a sick plan actually. Mick brought his car, so we drove from Austria to get here because flights were super expensive to Zadar, because it's not easy in here. We're gonna drive to Trieste in Italy, park the car for 2 weeks. Hopefully, play two challengers in Italy, and then fly back to Trieste, get the car, and then play split on our fourth week.
So yeah, that's the schedule. What a puzzle!
Statistics we're doing.
Yeah, big puzzle.
Yeah, and for you, Eric, you're like in the you're around 350 in the singles now.
Yeah, correct.
So you're mixing it up with futures and the challenger qualies, I guess.
Yeah, exactly. That's
so right. Same situation, but hopefully now in this time of the year, like especially in the summer, June, July, then it's quite a lot of challengers. So I guess you will get a lot of opportunities to gain some points. But the problem is that you're never patient. You always want those points straight away and the tournaments and everything. So yeah, it's difficult.
Yeah, it's not easy to find the right combination.
Yeah. When will you play your Philip and Mick? When will you play your first ATP together?
I hope soon.
Yeah, hopefully soon. But we're not there yet.
Amos.
Kitzbühel will be the first.
Sorry?
I think Kitzbühel nice. Will be the first.
Yeah, it would be nice there.
Yeah.
It's a really nice area to play for sure.
Yeah, because there are no 250s like before that. Yeah, maybe Båstad. But in this section now, until the French Open, it's basically no easy 250s.
No.
Then it's Båstad season, it's the same. And then after Wimbledon, maybe there is some.
That's the let's say weakest time of the year, around like July, August, for all tournaments. Because there's so many challengers also in that time.
Yeah.
Combined with ATPs. So that's the time to get into big tournaments and make good points.
Yeah, this year is the Olympics though, so there will be more players in Europe for those clay tournaments than would be otherwise.
Yeah. But I think there's 1 week with 4 ATPs because of the Olympics.
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe if we have a good ranking, then a good chance to play an ATP in that week.
Yeah, I think Båstad is one of those tournaments together with the three others.
It could be.
Could be, actually.
Yeah. Maybe we get a chance to play Båstad. We'll see.
We hope for the best, or they give you a wild card.
Could be.
Yeah.
If we deliver and win some challenger titles now on clay, in this time, then maybe there's a chance.
Yeah. Would be good.
Perfect. Yeah.
Because to climb in the doubles, like, you need a lot of points. Like, we have to gather up at least like 500 points to more than we have right now to make the let's say Grand Slam cut. I mean, that's basically two ATP 250 titles, which is a lot.
Yeah, on challenger level, as you are now, that's, I would say, maybe 8 titles.
Yeah.
So that's quite a lot.
Yeah, that's what it needs to get up to the Grand Slam level.
Yeah. Yeah, you just have to take it week by week, I guess.
Yeah. And then we get a chance to get into the big tournament. You need to get there and win matches.
Yeah, and just enjoy. And I think you already have done a big step going from futures to challengers and on your way to even bigger dreams and results.
Yeah, for sure. The journey is long, but we keep going up.
Yeah, you're still young. I mean, doubles players are 40 plus.
Yeah, 40 plus. Yeah, still some years to go.
Yeah, we calculated the top 10 the other day. What was it?
37.
Yeah, damn, that's crazy.
That's crazy, yeah.
37. Yeah. Damn.
Damn. Yeah,
all right. You see, he's looking tired now. He needs, it's bedtime right now.
Before we go, I have a sick clip with the legend of, do you say impersonations? I think you do, right?
Yeah.
Hur fan säger man på svenska när någon som imiterar någon? Is it impersonation?
Imitation.
Okay. Sorry. Imitation from Jonathan Rida on the legendary coach Rune Thompson. You want to hear it? Of course you want to hear it.
Yes.
I will play it now. Jonathan will probably kill me for this because I haven't asked him. But this was just a random video in a hotel room in Italy 2 years ago. I will play it now.
Det blir ingen invitation av Rune Thompson.
Rune Thompson?
Jonathan, why did you go to Italy instead of Liberec when the flight connections were much easier to go to Prague and then take a train? You can take the RC69 from Prague to Liberec in no time. You decided to go to Italy. And my question to you is, why did you do it?
Of course.
So good.
Another 10.
Sorry, Rune. Sorry, Rune. But that was really good. That was really good.
That was actually Rune. It sounded like Rune.
Yeah.
What do you say, Rune?
It was good. It was very good.
Of course.
Of course.
You're a big legend. Johnny, he's a crazy one.
Rune, Mr. Of Course Thompson.
Next time you can pretend you invite Rune, but you actually have Jonathan on the podcast.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, that's a good idea, Philip.
Yeah. Thank you very much, guys, for being on our podcast. It was a pleasure to have you all.
Thank you for having us.
And we hope for the best for all of you for the rest of the year. And yeah, we will root for you, right, Patrick?
As always.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Right. See you guys.
Bye.
Bye. Take care. Ciao.
kanske borta nästa sekund.
För det som går upp kommer
med en
kompis allt går runt. Kom ta del av vår värld, kom se med våra ögon och känn det som vi känner och hör med våra öron.
Vi får mot vår framgång, ibland soft, ibland kras, men vi älskar ändå vårt liv i våra grannskap.
Kom ta del av vår värld, kom se med våra ögon och känn det som vi känner och hör med våra öron.
Vi får mot vår framgång, ibland soft, ibland kras, men vi älskar ändå vårt liv i våra grannskap.
Jag hör fett med grejer från mitt fönster
när det står på glänt,
och folk utanför pratar om allt som hänt.
Allt ifrån det som har just gått ner
till det som hände igår
och det som kommer att ske.
Är ett pitbull skall,
ett bilalarm,
ett spädbarn skrik,
får sin mammas famn, en polisiren,
en trimmad vespa,
ett par som tjafsar
på bryter svenska,
en galen freestyle
på en farlig beatbox, ljudet av någon som tjackar fett med beatbox.
Guzzar som skriker, det här är det fetaste,
när radio spelar något utav High One senaste.
En snubbe skriker skynda,
en annan skriker jalla,
en kvinna ber till Gud
och en annan ber till alla.
En unge ropar gällan,
en annan ropar kom.
Det är såna ljud vi hör
utanför vår balkon. Kom ta del av vår värld, kom se med våra ögon och känn det som vi känner och hör med våra öron.
Vi får mot vår framgång, ibland soft, ibland klas, men vi älskar ändå vårt liv i våra grannskap.
Kom ta del av vår värld, kom se med våra ögon och känn det som vi känner och hör med våra öron.
Vi får mot vår framgång, ibland soft, ibland klas, men vi älskar ändå vårt liv i våra grannskap.
Jag känner fett med saken när jag står vid mitt fönster. Dag in dag ut följer alltid samma mönster.
Aina cisbana
och de diskriminerar,
fast den man är
lugn kan man bli trakasserad.
Så jag har hat för Aina,
jag har hat för farbror blå,
hat för de behandlar folk
och för hatet som de sår,
hat för pengarna,
för att de styr allt runt omkring,
hat för att vissa
har allt och andra ingenting.
Men jag älskar min ort och jag älskar min port,
även om den gjort att vissa växer upp allt för fort.
Älskar atmosfären,
ljuden och lukterna,
olika karaktär
från nykteristerna till suttarna.
Jag hör, ser, känner och älskar varenda bit. Ingen miljonär men tycker mitt liv var drit.
Rik på mot och framgång, ibland soft, ibland knas, men jag älskar ändå mitt liv i mitt grannskap. Kom på del av vår värld, kom se med våra ögon och känn det som vi känner och hör med våra öron.
Rik på mot och framgång, ibland soft, ibland knas, men vi älskar ändå vårt liv i våra grannskap.
Kom på del av vår värld, kom se med våra ögon och känn det som vi känner och hör med våra öron.
Rik på mot och framgång, ibland soft, ibland knas, men vi älskar ändå vårt liv i våra grannskap.